Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up, until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We will
Pastor Sam Cottle here. Glad to be with you again today. I know this. This is Holy Week, and God's with us. Of course, He's with us every week. But this is going to be a great week. We welcome you. Another session of a proverb, a prayer, and a miracle. And I call you blessed today. Thanks for being with us. As we always do, let's turn and face a flag somewhere in your home. We're going to have a moment of silence for those that are missing in action and those that are serving. And then we'll say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are again. We've set aside this time this morning, as we do every day, to focus in on Your holy word. We receive right now, Lord, everything that You have for us in this week. Of course, the whole world is looking to Your death, Your burial, Your resurrection. And the Catholic Church, Lord, for so long has made this one of the major events of the year, and we thank You for that. We thank You for that. There's too many other churches, Lord, that just let it go on by. But we thank You that all over the world this week, everyone's going to be focused on your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And we know there'll be Easter bunnies and egg hunts and chocolates and marshmallow chickens and all the rest of that stuff. But we thank you that this is the greatest week of any calendar that we could ever celebrate, because it's when redemption's plan was made complete. And we are complete in that plan. Thank you, Lord, that before the foundations of the world, you set this up. You established it. It's been a long time ago. Wisdom said that they were there at the foundation. And so we thank you for it. Thank you for this great nation that we live in. Everybody just say it with me. God bless America. God bless America. We thank you for this great nation that we live in. We ask your blessing upon us today, Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our sin. Complacency and compromise. The sins of omission that each of us may inadvertently even sin. The omissions, the sins of omission, the secret sins. And when we withhold life from them that we can give it to you. And our failure, Lord, to fulfill the callings that you've given us. Forgive us of our carnality, our impunity, the greed that we live in, our carelessness about the life of our infants. Jesus, forgive us of these sins and heal this great land. Protect our men and women serving around the world today, wherever they are, in defense of this great Constitution. We know that it has survived every storm that it's faced in the last 200 years, and we thank you for that, Lord. We ask for your strength for them and for their families today. May they change their statements, Lord. May they not say, wow, deployments are hard on us. May they say, man, this deployment's going to make us stronger than anything we've ever been before. And we'll thank you for it. And for everything that we learned today and every impartation you have for us, we will give you praise and honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. It's not too late to take this number and text it to somebody on your cell phone, 347-838-8241, 347-838-8241, and remind them that we're here right now. It's not too late. You can make that happen. And you can tell them to go to shoot them a Facebook post that says, go to blogtalkradio.com/proverb prayer and a miracle and get them connected. You want them connected all week, because we're going to talk about this Holy Week all week long and rejoice that salvation's plan is complete and that we're complete in that. Well, here we go, all the way from West Branch, Michigan to Lenore City, Tennessee. Are you there, Dad?
I am.
Good morning to you.
Right here. Good morning.
Good
morning here.
Yeah, is it?
Supposed to get snow tomorrow.
They're telling us we're going to have... Yeah, they're telling us we're going to have 2 inches of snow up here.
We'll get 2 flakes, maybe.
I'll tell you what. Glad that every season has an end date. And old man winter, I just put you on notice. Your day is already done. Go away. Okay, Proverbs chapter 14, Dad, whenever you're ready.
Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hatred. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor man is hated even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of the fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He who opposes the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests quietly in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame.
Wow. Look at verse 26 there. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And there's times in our lives where we don't have strong confidence. And we should probably look at ourselves and say, I need more of the fear of the Lord. That's very interesting.
Yes.
People hear the words fear of the Lord and they get afraid. No reason to be afraid of God. No reason to be afraid. I know when we were kids it was always easier to run to you when we did wrong than run away from you. It wasn't going to be a bad situation. I see my brother is not online this morning, so I can tell a good story on him. I remember one time when we were young that he just trapped me into doing something we shouldn't have done. Okay, that didn't happen. We got in that work truck of Dad's and started that engine up, and I said, I bet you don't know how to drive this. He said, oh, yeah. He put my foot on that pedal and this one and then let it go, and back in the ditch we went, man. And Joe was running down the road toward the vehicle when Mom and Dad came over the hill. He knew the fear of the Lord was his wise choice, hadn't he? Okay. Bless you guys.
Yeah.
One of these days
too.
You'll have a radio program and talk about me, probably. Okay, well, that's awesome. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate your help there. There's so much in these Proverbs, folks. If that verse, the fear of the Lord, doesn't make sense to you, figure out how to make it make sense. Because it's in the fear of the Lord that we begin to have wisdom. We just saw it. That's where the fountain of life is. That's where strong confidence comes, is in the fear of the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't get it. What in the world does that mean? It means that we have this awesome respect and reverence for God. We realize he's with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, even if you can pull the wool over somebody's eyes around you, you might as well not do it, because God's watching, and it doesn't matter about the person that's next to you, whether or not they can see it. It's about whether God sees it. And if we build in ourselves this fear of the Lord, all of a sudden we'll have this beautiful relationship with God. That's weird. People don't know how to take that. You'll have a relationship with God that is better than any friend you've ever had, because the scripture says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I love my brothers, and I'm close to both of them. But I don't mind having a friend that's even closer than that. And it's Jesus. And that's not just a cute religious statement. He's the one that founded this whole earth, that created everything. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Man, he knows it all. He's the one that gave all the ideas to everybody to make all this beautiful technology that we have today. So he can help you figure out every part of your life. And the best thing you'll ever do is just make God, make Jesus your friend, so that you can live in that every day. Well, we got lots of scripture to read today, so I better get out of the proverb and head on over here to Holy Week. You know, this week is Holy Week, so we're gonna be reading about the miracles that happen in Holy Week, because that's what this program is about: Proverbs, the prayer, and the miracle. Now, a lot of people miss the fact of the miracles that happened this week. You know, and they get some of them. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he was the same right in the middle of Holy Week, that last week of his life, as he was throughout the first 3 years of his ministry. So I want to go today to Matthew chapter 21. We read it last night for the proverb, the prayer, and the miracle. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I want to be a part of it on Sunday night. Well, that's fine. It's usually about 10 o'clock at night, sometimes 11, whenever I can finally get things slowed down enough around here that I can get on and make it happen. And you're welcome to be there. Just call into that number, and it'll let you know when the program is scheduled. It'll be a blessing to you. But here we go. Let's read this. Let's read this reference here. Matthew chapter 21 is the reference that we're going to read from. The book of Matthew chapter 21. And some people, you know, think that Holy Week is a Catholic holiday. No, just thank God we've got the Catholics that's maintained all the beauty of this week and haven't let us forget these valuable things, because there's a lot of other people that would forget if it wasn't for people like them. And so, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, take part in everything you can take part in this week. Enjoy the week. Rejoice in the week. And then take part of everything that you can take part of, because, you know, it's a very, very, very amazing thing that has happened. And, you know, it was a long time ago, but you know, here's the thing about our God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? very, very interestingly, all of this stuff had already taken place in heaven. It had already taken place in heaven because it was established before the foundation of the world. And the only thing that last week of Jesus' life did is it played it all out. It revealed it. Now, Jesus did have to walk it out. He did have to have the Last Supper. He did have to get the, you know, pray in the garden, surrender his will. That's all part of Jesus' humanity here on this earth. But I'm telling you something. This last week was laid out before the foundation of the world. And in so doing, all that had to happen, I said it the other day at church, I'll say it again right now. It's like a memorial, and I've been to lots of memorials for our fallen troops here in the last 7 years. And when you show up for the dedication of that memorial, they got a beautiful cloth around it, and it's covering it. Well, at that point in the ceremony, they'll reach up and they'll remove that cloth with the family standing there, and the memorial is revealed. But that's not the first time the memorial has been there. It's probably been a couple, 2-3 weeks, a month in the creation of it and pouring the cement and doing the landscaping and all that work. So when they pull the cloth out, it wasn't that was when it happened. It was the revelation that happened. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit set all of this up. And during Holy Week, it's just the revelation of the plan where Jesus was going to get to the point where he said, "It is finished." Man, I could preach, but I got to go to the scripture. John chapter 1, let's read. When they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." I like how Jesus thinks. Got to go get a nice mule to ride on, even a colt, the new one. And that's the truth about what happened. Jesus was there, and the scripture said he was going to come riding on a donkey that had never been ridden before. And when he did, it sets a precedent for everything. You got to realize it's not, Jesus needs a donkey, so somebody go find him one. No. God is establishing something here, and it's a very, very, very powerful something that our God is establishing. And the disciples, they've been with him 3 years now. Can you imagine? Okay, we got to go over here, and we're going to see a donkey and a colt tied over there, and we're going to unloose it. And when they say something, because you know, Peter, they're going to say something, we're just going to look at him and say, "The master needs this." And, back to the story. Woo, I could really go on all this today. Verse 4, "And all that was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Verse 6, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, set them on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Well, who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. Don't miss this next verse. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Say it. Miracles in the temple. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. You could probably add jealous. And he said to them, do you hear what these are saying? Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never heard out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now let's go back to this. Think about this. Right in the middle of the triumphal entry, which we all celebrated yesterday or Saturday night, whenever your church service is, we all celebrated it that on that day. And right in the middle of that, Jesus goes straight for the temple. And while he's there, you know, he sees what's going on in there. And he drives out the money changers. Now, remember, they were permitted to be there by the law. That was part of the law. They were permitted to be there. But they had turned it from being what God had set it up to be. They had turned it from that to becoming, as Jesus said, a den of thieves. They were taking advantage of the poor. It had become a regular old business situation rather than a place where people could come who didn't have turtle doves and buy them for the sacrifice that was there. So Jesus cleansed the temple. Here's the cool part about Jesus. He cleanses the temple and immediately begins to heal people. Some people got to realize that what's got to happen in your life is you need your temple cleansed. Say it. I might need my temple cleansed. Some of you didn't say it. Try it again. I might need my temple cleansed. I was like Jesus right there when he would look up and say, why are you guys discussing that between you? I can see some of you. You didn't say it. I might need my temple cleansed. But don't let that freak you out if you need your temple cleansed. We just read about the fear of the Lord bringing strong confidence. Just go to God and say, cleanse me. Because as soon as Jesus cleansed the temple that day, miracles started to happen. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Everybody say it. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. People's lives were changed. They were transformed. Why? Because Jesus was in the midst of them mighty. And here he is, you know, he's getting ready to lay his life down, but right there in the temple, they were blind and they were lame. You know, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, what did they do? They got to see. When Jesus healed the lame, what did they get to do? Walk. It matters not whether you're blind or you can't walk. Our God is going to bring you life. And what's the name of our God? Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Well, that's our scripture for today. Read it. Read it again. Read that whole chapter. Because there's so much power in this. And realize, this is all on the same day, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. This is all the same day that Jesus came in riding on that donkey. His task wasn't complete. And he was going to set the things straight for all the world to see. And he was going to make things so that everybody understood what was going on. I'll tell you, you start looking at everything that happened on that last day. Think about this. This is in the last week. He taught the parable of the two sons, the parable of the vineyard, the parable of the marriage feast. He talked about tribute to Caesar and about the resurrection. What's the greatest commandment? He denounced the scribes and Pharisees over and over. He talked about the widow's gift, the sermon of the end of the world, and the abomination of the desolation, the great tribulation, the coming of the Son of Man. Then the parables. He spoke those seven parables, the fig tree and the time, the two men in the field, the master of the house and the thief, the faithful and evil servants, the 10 virgins, and the talents. All of this, and the sheep and goats nations, all of this is in that last week. All of it is. And there's more. So Jesus is working. He's alive and well. You know, I hear people say, well, God's too busy to hear my prayers. Oh, really? Really? He's too busy. He's too busy for you. It's not true. You know, some of you heard Bill Cosby talk about, and he was funny, and Bill's a good man, but he's talking about God being busy, you know, trying to solve something, and then somebody swears, and he's like, oh, what's going on over there? Listen, you know, as cute as all that is, here's the reality of it, folks. God's not too busy. All 7 billion of us can ask him a question at the same time, at the same day, at the same second of that day, and he would have an answer for every one of us. He is all present, he is all powerful, and he is all knowing, and he can answer every one of us. Point your finger at yourself and say, yes, even you. Even me. You know, the old hymn says, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Yes, he does. And he's here to answer your prayers today. Well, it's time to pray. Make sure you come on back and bring your friends with you. Because we're going to be talking about Holy Week this day and all the miracles that happen. But now it's time to pray. And in specific obedience to God, we're going to begin with a prayer of forgiveness. Because Jesus said when the disciples were standing there looking at the tree, the fig tree that withered up, and he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can not only do that, but you can move mountains. But then he said, when you stand praying, you got to forgive. So I know that many of you are part of the program every single day. And so you've already been dealing with the things in your life that you have to forgive. Here's the power of all of us praying this prayer at the same time. One puts 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000, and three, the multiplication factor is out of this world of what's going to go on. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want every one of us to pray this prayer out loud in your house every single time, and we're going to do it from the point of view of that's going to give somebody new that's listening to the archive the courage and the strength to do it themselves. Because not everybody will do it. They'll say, well, why are all them people praying that? And then, you know, what's up with that pastor? But it doesn't matter because we're leading them in this prayer. You ready? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, in my own life, me personally, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I know you promised to do it. So I receive that forgiveness. And now, Lord, I forgive everyone around me who's done me wrong. My family, my friends, my teachers. I forgive everyone who has offended me in my life. And I drop the charges against them. So that I can enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. And when I say to the mountain, be removed, it will be removed. I pray for their redemption, Lord. In your house, whoever it is that comes to your mind right now, say their name right out loud if you can. I pray for their redemption. Because I want no one to experience the horrors of eternity without God. I thank you, Lord, for this forgiveness and that my life is free, can stand in faith and speak to the mountain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hope you're beginning to feel the release of some of those things from your past by just forgiving those people and dropping the charges. I know it's hard. There's not a one of us that hasn't had a major offense, but just do it, because it'll bless you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and trespasses, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen. And now, Father, we come to you at this moment. And we come in Jesus' name. We come in faith, knowing that as we speak to you and as we come to you, that you, Lord, are doing a very, very mighty, mighty work in the lives of each of these people. And we have this confidence, because we've studied your word, that if you hear the request that we give, the petition, that we know we will have the petition that we ask of you, and we receive that from you now. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy and your grace and your blessing is on each of these. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing work that we can't see. You're doing work that we can't see. And in that work is these miracles for these, your people. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that as we pray, we have this confidence that it's confidence. It's not hope. It's the knowing that you are alive and well and working right here, right now. And, you know, Lord, every one of these people that we're praying for, we know that you've already paid the price and that you're working in their life right here, right now. You've already paid that price. And so we stand in all confidence today in who you are. We stand right now, right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord, here's the names that we're speaking. We're speaking them to you again, Lord, just to let all the spiritual worlds know we're not dropping this request, and we will see the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Noreen and Larry and Sherry and Terry and the other Terry and Chris and Tracy and Janelle and Brittany and this family member that shared this, that their family is dealing with cancer. All of these, Lord, have been dealing with cancer. The doctor said they don't know what we can do. This is what we know can happen. We know you're working right here, right now, in a very powerful, marvelous way, right here, right now. The first time we prayed this prayer, we know you heard it, and we glorify your name, Lord. I speak to you, cancer. You're a mountain, and you're a mountain that has much fear with it. So I speak to you, fear. Cancer, and the fear that comes with it, I bind you in the name of Jesus, because I have the keys of the kingdom. And I speak to this mountain, be removed in these people's lives, and may the blessing of God and the strength of God come to them to fight and win. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony we've received about Tracy, how everything's changing in her life, and she's got that faith and that belief and that hope in you, and she's warring this warfare. She's going to war this warfare and win, to fight and win. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the miracle. And Lord, may every doctor have to look and say, this is obviously a miracle. I never thought when you told us to do this, Lord, that we would be helping so many people come to faith in you. But every time someone's healed of cancer, there's another doctor that's got to say it's a miracle. There's another x-ray tech saying, I don't know. It is just not there any longer. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Keep our ear tuned for these so that everywhere we go, we're helping people get free from cancer. And we can change this world right here just dealing with this one issue. And we have that great confidence in you. You know, Lord, we worship you. Because that's what we're supposed to do. When you came to that place in your life where the Last Supper was finished, the last message was given, and you went out into the garden to pray, and you knelt there at that great rock by the tree, wherever it was, and you began to surrender your will, that's the toughest part for all of us, Lord. But you did it. And you shed blood there. And wherever there's been the shedding of blood, sin is in remission. All we got to do is avail ourselves to it. So, Lord, you're the one that's caused us to have this radio program. And now we pray for these people that's there. And, Lord, we take this on as an assignment for just healing. Radical, total, complete healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for victory and for peace. May these people just all of a sudden have the peace of God just come over them. I want to hear the stories. I declare the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule your heart and your mind. I'm saying your names again, Noreen and Larry and Sherry and Terry and Tracy and Chris and Terry and Janelle and Brittany and Tracy. Thank you, Lord, there is hope. Thank you. Thank you for our brother Gary, Lord, that no matter what it is that was, it's been removed and his family's free from that now. It's free. Lord, we also speak over each of these that we're dealing with this cancer or a tumor or these severe stomach problems and pain. Lord, help us. Help us get this message of forgiving everyone around you so there's no bitterness on the inside. No bitterness. I declare it. I declare angels of the Lord. I declare, as an ambassador, Lord, I speak it. There'll be workers and laborers across these people's paths. We pray, Lord, for these that need a home, a place to live. Jesus, that's a rough place to be. We think of these two men that are homeless, David and Dan. We pray for them, Lord. We're not going to take this lightly. Not only do we pray, we sow seed toward it. And we declare right now that we do our part of helping them. Lord, I pray you open the doors. We all of us right now agree in prayer that I command you door open in their understanding and humanly on this earth, a physical door on a hinge open where they have a place to stay. And the provision to make it happen. The righteous have never been forsaken. Seed are never begging bread. And we declare that right now for them. Lord, I declare over these people that have these wounds for unjust treatment that's happened to them. Thank you that the word of God declares the righteous shall be recompensed on this earth. that vindication and justice is of the Lord. It is a foundation of your very throne is justice. And these who have these wounds, they'll be free. We pray for Brent and Vicky. We pray for Fred, Lord. I pray for Bill. This injustice. Lord, everyone that's connected to any church that any of us belong to, that injustice is keeping them away from the things of God, we declare in the name of Jesus that strong man bound, and they have the ability to get out and be with us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray today for Ron and Barb and for Andrea, for Bill and Mary Ann. We pray for them, the Briggs family, these that are dealing with death, Mike and Pat and Tess. We pray for them, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you are there, that you are, the scripture says, blessed. That means to be highly, to be envied. It literally means that this person is so blessed that they should be envied. You said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We thank you for that comfort to come to them today. Today. And for strength. I bind you, grief, and the spirit of grief function in their lives. Can't. Impossible. Won't allow it. Don't permit it. Can't happen. So for the Briggs family, I bind that spirit of grief. They will be able to get up and go and do. Their bodies will be free from the bitterness of this death. It's a horrible pain, but they're free from it. And you give them the courage to stand up. I speak that over everyone that's connected to us. Lord, I don't know the other people's deal. If they'll write us, we'll know. But I declare over any of you that's dealing with death that you are free from the horrible bondage and bitterness of it because of Jesus. These that have broken bones, broken backs, broken necks, MS, diabetes, cancer, AIDS, bow to the name of Jesus. Right now, bow to the name of Jesus. Bow to the name of Jesus. Because that's what the scripture says. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has any of those I just named, that they just raise their hands and receive the healing that you've already provided by a stripe on your back. It's already done. Nothing else you can do. It's already done. Receive it. We receive it. I receive healing in my eyes, Lord, and in my ears, my own eyes, my own ears. I receive it right now. You gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. You gave our organs the ability to function and produce life and health in our bodies. Brain injuries, be healed. Brain injury, be healed and restored to perfect soundness. Post-traumatic stress from any situation. I bind your destructive effect in people's lives. We are free to go and serve and bless and care for people. And we will not be stopped. We will not be stopped. Thank you, Lord. And now we turn to the troops, as we do. We bless them in Jesus' mighty name. We thank them for their work. We thank them for what they do. But now I bless you in Jesus' name, and I declare Psalm 91 that the angels are surrounding you and protecting you and keeping you safe. You will not dash your foot against a stone. You will not dash your foot against a stone. You will not dash your foot against a stone. Not one that's buried, not one that's rolled off the mountain, not one that's nothing. It won't happen because we're speaking it over our troops now. And we know that no matter where they are, the angels of the Lord have gone and they're now there. Every mom, every dad, every sister, every brother, every husband, every wife, every friend, every lover, every aunt, uncle, cousin, nephew, or niece, we declare that they stand boldly and pray the prayers for our troops. We pray for the 1460th right here in Michigan. In the name of Jesus, may they be the greatest warriors ever been seen yet. Accomplish many great things. As they're closing the bases down in Afghanistan and moving out, we declare safety and strength to our troops. No more killed in action. And they use their wisdom and their excellence, and they're safe about this. And this removal happens, and it as the drawdown happens, we declare that we are home and America is safe right here in our own borders. In the name of Jesus. Every contractor that's there, every family member that has a contractor there, as they remove themselves from these places and come back home, we ask for their help and for their strength and for finances to come to them, Lord, for opportunity. Open your door of blessing right here in this great nation. Help each one of us to rise up and make America great, I pray. For those that are wounded in our medical facilities, give them healing and strength. We pray for every commanding officer, Lord, give them wisdom. As the general said this weekend, may we not be stupid. It's time to fund the military. May we not be stupid. We bind stupid, and we ask you, Lord, to root out those that are stupid in this election year. Now, we don't care what their name is. Root them out and give us people that will stand boldly and protect this great nation. Bless those that have lost a loved one. May their voice be the loudest and the strongest that there is no greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. May they tell their family and their family member's story like never before, and may their words teach this next generation that freedom is not free. We pray this in your mighty name. We pray it according to God's holy word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have heard this prayer. We have that great confidence. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for being with us today. I thank you for your faith that helps us get accomplished everything that we do. I speak because you spent this time today right here. You set aside this time and you studied and you fellowshiped with us and you prayed. Thank you for your prayers. One puts 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. When we bind the strong men by 10,000 of numbers at a time, then our friends and family are free. And I speak that freedom over you right now. If you're one that's got has had one of these diseases, never stop every day just looking at that thing right in the mirror and saying, I will not be bound. What do you mean, Pastor? I take my glasses off regularly and say, I see, and read those small print. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. We declare your freedom and your blessing. Make sure you share this number with other people that need this word. 347-838-8241. 347-838-8241. You can send a letter to us at P.O. Box 622, West Branch, Michigan, 48661. You can reach us on the web at samcottle@sbcglobal.net. You can email right to this program, a proverb, a prayer, and a miracle @gmail.com. You can come out and see us at 600 Progress Street in West Branch, Michigan, on Sunday afternoons for our church service. We'd love to have you. You can go to the Blog Talk Radio site, click follow, and click notify, and it'll notify you every time we schedule a program, and so you're sure to be a part of it. I call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Call your family blessed. May this be the day that great doors of opportunity open up to you, because you can see it now, because forgiveness has come. And remember, all of your life, that Jesus is alive and well right now, and he's Lord, and he's performing miracles right here.
I hope that you've enjoyed this message today. My prayer for your life and family is that since you're an heir of salvation, the angels of the Lord will minister to you every day of your life. I know that since you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I say he delivers you from the snares and traps with which the enemy would try to stop you. I say the word will be your shield and buckler every day. You will not be afraid of anything. You may see thousands fall by your side, but it will not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place.
No evil shall befall you. No plague or calamity will come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany, defend, and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. I say all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, in the field, in the fruit of your body, in your work, and God shall increase you more and more. I say you're blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. I say the Lord shall cause your enemies that come out against you to flee in seven ways. You'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And you will not turn aside from any of these words of the Lord. I thank the Lord for you, and I pray that he shall grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. I pray the eyes of your understanding be flooded with enlightenment so that you can understand your place in God, and that you know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power to you as you believe. And as always, we want you to know that we love you, and God loves you. He has a place for you in his kingdom. He is good, and his mercy endures forever.